Okay, so we're now in part two of this home study course of Liebster Jesu Wirsing here, BWV number 731 by Johann Sebastian Bach. And now we are ready for the third day of our practice. And before we learn something new today, I recommend you go back and practice the material from day one and day two, basically fragment one and fragment two, or measures one and two, then two, three, and four, basically these two little fragments, and also attempt to play three times in a row correctly. If you can do this right away with four parts, soprano, alto, tenor, and bass, that's very good. But just play it really, really slowly, observing correct fingering, pedaling, notes, rhythms, ornaments, articulation, and hand and feet position. If not, you can also try to play combinations of two voices or three voices, or even a few times solo voices like soprano, alto, tenor, and bass separately, because it's really important that you remember the material you practiced on day two and day one. If you do this step correctly, then the next step will be just so much easier. Okay, so take your time and play the previous fragments three times correctly, and then the new material will start on measure six with the soprano line. Soprano line sounds like this. At the beginning of the next fragment, so that our fragments will be connected and it will be easier to play the entire piece fluently eventually. Okay, what is difficult in this fragment for the soprano line is of course these 32nd notes. So I advise and recommend that you keep counting and subdividing the beats. For example, one and two and, okay, you need to keep counting in at least in eight notes, one and two and, okay, or even sometimes with 16th notes, one and two and three and four and like that. Then your rhythms will be so much more easier to play correctly. One more time. Okay, at the end of this fragment, the last F sharp could be a little shorter, because we need to take a breath here, and you can make the rest after F sharp a little bit longer. Okay, when you practice and master this line, you can take a look at the left hand part, specifically alto line. There is an interesting modern here. Up to this point, we only had moderns with a vertical cross, crossed line on them, and that they would be performed from the main note, playing the main note, the lower neighbor, and the main note. For example, if this D sharp in measure 7 would be with the mordent, which is would be crossed, we would play D sharp, C sharp, D sharp. But now, because it's not crossed, we have to play from the upper note, like that. E, D sharp, E, D sharp, like that. So one more time, for example, starting from measure 6. Play three times in a row correctly in this fragment. Now the next step would be to play the tenor line separately. Let's listen to it. Three times in a row correctly. Then let's take a look at the pedals. Remember, our pedal part, the second fragment ended on the low G in measure 5, and then the beginning note of the third fragment, measure 6, is the high G. Okay. So what you need to do, you have to be prepared for this G, the high G, but you also have to be prepared for the F sharp with the left foot, with left toe. So as soon as you release this bass whole note in measure 5 with the left foot, you move, you slide with one swift motion to F sharp. Okay? If you are ready to play it, continuously, not from the beginning, like the repeat, but if you are going to measure 6 from measure 5. Okay? So this way. Be ready. That is called pedal preparation. So let's take a look at measure 6 again. And now I'll play the bass. Okay, did you notice how I play every other note shorter? That is because I move both of my feet together. Here, G, F sharp. Then move to the new position for E and D. Then the next position, C sharp and F sharp. Then the next position, D sharp and B. E, F sharp. And so on. This technique, when you play the every other note shorter, helps you to feel the flowing pulse, flowing meter, the 4/4 meter. It's not the most advanced way. It's not the ultimate way. When you will be ready to take this next step and play it in public, I'll talk about how to take it even further and to really, really feel the pulse of 1, 2, 3, and 4. Because now what we are doing is we're just doing strong week, strong week, strong week. But in reality, you need to do much more subtle things with this line in order to feel this alternation of strong and weak beats. But we'll talk about that when we're ready. Okay, so anyway, just practice this line 3 times in a row correctly. Then the next step would be to play 2 parts, soprano and alto line, from measure 6. Soprano and tenor line. Soprano and bass. Specific about the articulation in the right hand in these 30 seconds notes. They're not legato. You should play with ordinary touch the articulate legato that I taught you earlier. Now, the next step would be to play the left hand part, which is alto and tenor, just alto and tenor alone. In articulation, but this fingering, which I've written it for you, makes it really, really easy to do this. If you just are precise in fingering, just pay careful attention to the fingering here and play it correctly 3 times in a row. Okay, then the alto and bass, but let's try it. Would be the next step, tenor and bass, the last combination of 2 voices. As easy, because the fingering for the left hand, it really depends on those 2 voices, alto and tenor. But because the alto is absent and you're playing only the tenor, line with the fingering. The fingering might feel a little awkward, but trust me on this, if you do this really precisely, both parts will be much so much easier to achieve if you do this alone, alto alone and tenor alone with correct fingering, okay? Anyway, so the next step would be to play the three-part combination, starting with the three tap voices, soprano, alto, and tenor, without the pedals. Some voice crossing. Here is actually the part which is the real evidence that you cannot really play this on the organ with just one manual. Okay, you could. I'm playing on my house organ with using just 8-foot flute here, stopped flute. And sometimes the voices are crossing, and for example, you can hear some missing notes. Okay, let's take a look again at measure six. Like that, like right here. The last note in the soprano line, F sharp, in this measure 6 is F sharp, okay? But at the same time, the alto part has the sustained F sharp with the left hand, this F sharp. And again, there is an F sharp in the right hand. So what happens if we play on the organ like mine, where it is the same stop is coupled from one manual to another, you cannot really hear it. You have to use a different registration if you want. So really, we'll talk about the registration a little bit later at the end of this course, when you will be ready to play it in public. I'll teach you all kinds of different ways to register this piece. But just be aware, if you are playing on one manual this instrument, some notes might sound missing, might be missing, okay? Okay, so that was the combination with three tap voices, soprano, alto, and tenor. The next step would be to play soprano, alto, and bass, okay, without the tenor. Let's try. Also practice three times in a row correctly, and then would be soprano, tenor, bass. Would be without the soprano part, alto, tenor, and the bass. So basically the left hand and the pedal part from measure 6. Thank you. you've taken these steps really carefully and played every combination at least 3 times in a row correctly, now you are ready for the last version, last combination, all 4 parts combined: soprano, alto, tenor, and bass from measure 6. Fragment 3, and basically the end of your day 3 practice. So you can now take a rest and come back to the next fragment on day 4. Okay, and on day 4 we start practicing the last phrase of this chorale, beautiful chorale prelude, starting from measure 8. And the first thing you do, of course, on day 4, you have to repeat the previously learned material at least 3 times in a row. By this time, hopefully you should notice real changes in your previous fragments, especially in fragments 1 and 2. They are getting stronger and stronger and stronger every day. Perhaps fragment 3, because you learned this just yesterday, perhaps this fragment is not as good, so maybe some people will need to go back and practice a little bit solo voices, a little bit combinations of 2 voices and 3 voices in this measure 6 and 7. But at any rate, just always aim for 3 correct repetition in any step, in any combination. Okay, so now let's take a look at this last phrase with the right hand part, the soprano line. Okay, this is really, really beautifully ornamented, but it's really important that you count out loud the beats and subdivide them so that your rhythms are correct too. Let's take a look from measure 8. Last note continues to hold until the end. Okay, so what you notice is lots of 32nd notes and beautifully melodically and rhythmically figured here. The first beat. And the next is also the same, the third beat. The next measure 9, is different. Okay, this beat. And the next is also different from the previous. And the next. Rhythmically, this one is the same as previous. So basically, in these 2 measures, Bach shows us so many different versions of these ornamented lines in the soprano, ornamented figures, that it's so beautiful. And just pay attention and just always enjoy and listen how it sounds, especially the larger leaps in measure 9. We have this. Measure 9, beginning of measure 9 is A, G. The interval of A to G is, of course, minor 7th. It's if you were to sing this, of course, this interval, that would be pa 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 pa. You would need to really make some effort because it's a high note and a very wide jump. So in organ there is it's easy, of course, to just play 1-5 with correct fingers and you will be just in the right place. But for the listeners, you need to sort of direct their attention to this leap by showing how important it is. I'm going to play this line one more time, but stop and you will notice how I'm doing this with this leap again. Here, did you notice? I a little bit made some rhythmical alteration here and slowing down, emphasized this high note, and of course with shortening the downbeat here, like that. Okay, that's really helpful to make this high note sound very, very strong, because it's a culmination of this line, melodic culmination, the highest note of this, of the entire chorale prelude. So make sure you notice that and direct your listener's attention to this note too. One more thing about the ornaments in this measure. This is something that it's sort of obvious, but I need to tell you. And it hasn't happened here before, so it's a good place to do that. Measure 9 now. Another leap, by the way. Right here. On the following note, A, there is a mordent. Mordent? Normal mordent. If we play this A correctly, we would play B A B A, right? Four note mordent for starting from the top note. But if you look at the score, you notice that the previous note B is tied with the note which has a mordent. So basically, legato. B to A, okay, B to A. In the traditional way of playing the mordent, if you ever see a mordent with a legato note before that, this means that you generally don't need to play the first note, and the first note is already played by the first note with this tied over note. What happens is, I will be playing from beat 3 now, and keep counting, and you will notice how I'm performing it. 3 and 4 and like that. One more time from measure, from the same measure, but fourth beat number 4. B tied over. So this legato signs mean that you don't repeat this starting upper note B, but start a little bit later on A. The last note actually could be simple mordent like that, or longer, but at any rate, it's really good if you could play the downbeat a little longer. It's like in violin, playing trills on violin, you emphasize the starting note and speed up and slow down at the end. This is really beautiful. Okay, at any rate, play this 3 times in a row correctly. This is just a soprano line. Okay, then. the alto part, starting from measure 8. Penultimate measure, you see these two mordents, simple with the lower neighbor note, E D E, and G F sharp G, like that. Okay, play this also three times correctly. Then the tenor voice. This particular fragment is particularly strange, but just insist on playing the correct way, because later on it will be really easy for you to play both hands, like both parts, alto and tenor, in the same hand correctly with this precise fingering and articulation. Just trust me on this, it will not feel awkward later on, okay? Now, the last version of solo voices is, of course, the bass line. Let's try it from measure 8. This is also very important that you emphasize every beat, shorten this the weak beats, which is every second notes, by playing those only pedaling, and play this even slower, because the pedal part usually takes longer to master, like this, and two and three. Times in a row correctly, and then you will be ready to take the next step, playing two voices at a time, combinations of two parts. And the first step is, of course, soprano and alto lines. Let's try it. Combination would be soprano and tenor. Okay. the second note A, and the second note is F sharp. But there is an interesting ornament, appoggiatura, tied, legato, the smaller note, which is stepwise to the F sharp, G and F sharp, right? Appoggiatura. And the way we usually perform it is, of course, play it rhythmically, but making it in 16th notes, G16, and F sharp would be a 16th note. Okay, so it would be like that. That's how it should sound. Then the next step would be, of course, soprano and bass. Let's try. Basically the left hand alone. Five fingering in the left hand, because these wide intervals of the sixth right here in measure 8 require this kind of fingering, 1 5 1 5, and octave, of course, octave is of course 1 5, but that creates the natural articulated legato. Of course, we don't need to play with finger substitutions here to achieve the perfect legato, which is of course used for the later kind of romantic and modern music. So just we are avoiding finger substitutions here as much as possible. Okay, the next combination would be alto and the bass. While playing the left hand only with fingers 1 1 1 1 1 a lot of time, but again, trust me, it will feel much better when you add alto and tenor together in the next combination. So, but the next step would be to play alto, the tenor, excuse me, and the bass, tenor and the bass, starting from measure 8. If you make mistake like me in this fragment, go back and do it 3 times correctly. Thank you. practice is not the same as performance. In performance, in public performance, we're not correcting mistakes. We're keeping going because if we repeat the mistake in our public performance, like a church or during recital, listeners will know that it's a mistake. But a lot of times, if we just keep the same rhythm and keep going, a lot of times people even don't notice that we make this mistake. And this is how it's done during the public performance. But when you practice and if you make mistakes, this is of course normal, just go back and insist on playing three times correctly. You will be really, really much better practicing this way, and very efficient when correcting mistakes regularly. Okay, the next step would be three voice combinations without the pedal now. Just top three voices, soprano, alto, and tenor. Starting from measure 8. One danger here. You just only need it. It might appear to you that you only need to add this extra pedal part right here. You already mastered the manual parts, and the next step, you might think that will be plus the pedals. Okay, four parts together, but it's a mistake to think like that. It's really not the next step, but it's the last step. We need to cover all kinds of three voice combinations before we even attempt to play four parts together. So just resist the temptation. I think a lot of times people, when playing three voices, just the manual parts, they want to play the pedals right away, okay, and then add the pedals to the hands, and they think that will be the fastest way, but no. Because the pedals plus three top voices create very, very difficult polyphonic texture for a lot of people. So therefore, the next combination will be soprano, alto, and bass. Okay? Just, we're progressing one step at a time, like baby steps. And if you complete all the steps, you will be a master of this piece very, very soon. Okay? Three times correctly, the next combination would be soprano, tenor, and the bass from measure 8. Last combination of three voices. is, of course, without the soprano, alto, tenor, and the bass, without the right hand, basically. Let's try it. Four voices together only now, okay, because this is the last step in our fourth fragment. Let's try it. Than it's written in the score, because a lot of times additional ornament sounds very, very stylistically correct in cadences. For example, if you happen to have a score with not too many ornaments, but you encounter a cadence, feel free to add a mordent or a trill, okay, of any kind, because this is a particular appropriate place to add ornaments. Okay, so this completes the fragment four, the last fragment. Okay, so you might be asking yourself, can I play this piece in public right now after I mastered these separate four fragments? Of course, the answer might be not yet. You very soon will be able to do this, but not yet, because you see there are four fragments, so far we covered one for each day. But if you want to take this another step and play it fluently, okay, you have to do something else, because up to now you are perhaps a master of each separate fragment, right? You can play each separate fragment without mistakes. But of course, during public recital or church service, or even for your friends and family, you need to be able to perform this entire piece from the first chord until the last chord, the entire page. So one of the best and easiest ways to achieve this is, of course, to combine the fragments together. So I recommend the next step for you. This would be play fragments 1 and 2 without stopping, and then fragments 3 and 4 without stopping, okay? Three times correctly in a row, of course. Attempt to play with correct fingering, pedaling, notes, rhythms, articulation, and even ornaments and hand position. That's very important, that you are fluent in each category of musical ideas. So the next step would be to play these two fragments without stopping, okay? And hopefully you can do this in day 5. And in day 6, you can take it one step further. You can play the entire prelude without stopping. That basically completes the learning process of this piece. And in 6 days you will notice that you are almost ready to play it in public. Well, there might be a few more days when you are really, really certain that you will not make any mistakes. And one of the secret, I call it secret, it's not a secret, but not too many people do this, but I advise and recommend, if you really love this piece and enjoy it, to play it in public and would like to have this in your repertoire for a long time to come, I recommend to you to take one more step, perhaps one more final step in mastering this piece. You need to memorize it, okay? And after memorization, you will be ready to play this piece in public. Well, many people ask me how to memorize this piece, and a lot of times people say that you either have disability or you not. Okay, it's like given, you have a talent or not. And I always reply that no, it's a systematic way, very methodical. So if you can play and master the steps up to until here, you certainly will be able to master and memorize this piece also. Just use my system, which I recommend. There are many ways, but one particular way I'll teach you today is to play, to subdivide this piece into phrases of 4 measures each. So this prelude has 8, 9, 10 measures, so basically it would be like two and a half fragments, okay? And I recommend you play 10 times one measure one, okay? Measure one, like that. To stop earlier. Perhaps until here. And that will be your first fragment to memorize. If you repeat it 5 times while looking at the score, just really looking and observing, and then 5 times without looking, you will notice that you most likely will be memorizing this fragment very successfully. Yes. So just 10 times, 5 looking, 5 not looking, okay? And do this for measure 2 also, okay? And to finish on this downbeat of measure 3. Then 10 times measure 3 and finish on the downbeat of measure 4, okay? And then measure 4 and stop on the downbeat of measure 5. All right, and that would be probably it. The next step would be to play 2 measures at a time, measures 1 and 2 10 times, measures 2 and 3 10 times, and measures 3 and 4 10 times, and then 3 measures at a time, 1, 2, 3 10 times, and 2, 3, 4, 10 times. You see how I add one more more difficulty, one more step to each fragment, and it gradually becomes more difficult. But you even don't know this because it's so you know, gradual progression is so gradual, and you will love this system because in no time, in just perhaps. In one day you will be able to memorize this piece if you apply this method, okay? So first 4 measures will be 1, 2, 3, 4 separately, then 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, finally 1, 2, 3, 4 connected without stopping. So that would be your first fragment. Then imagine you're starting from measure of 5 and keep counting again. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Everything is like 10 times. 5 looking at the score and 5 not looking. Okay? And do this for a couple of more measures, because this is like 10 measure piece. So 2.5 fragments of 4 measures would be for memorization. And that's it, basically. You will be memorizing the entire piece in 4 measures. If you want, you can combine those measures together, playing one fragment and the second fragment. 4 measures and 4 measures without stopping, that would be the next level. Okay, and then finally would be 1, 2, 3. One fragment of 4 measures and the second fragment of 4 measures and the last fragment of 2 measures. Everything would be sort of longer and longer and longer. So that's basically how I memorize organ music, and I recommend you can try my system in this piece, in Liebster Jesu Wirsen here, very, very successfully. Okay, so before I let you practice and enjoy this piece, I have one more thing to say about registration. Okay, many people wonder how you can successfully register this piece. Well, you see, it's sort of very obvious that you need 2 manuals organ. Okay, the organ has to be with 2 manuals, and the solo voice, the right hand part, is of course the solo melody, which needs something a different registration than you normally have in the left hand. So a little bit louder. It can be a variety of stops. The most obvious is of course a cornet. Cornet is a compound stop of 5 francs, of 5 flutes basically, 8 foot, 4 foot, 2 2/3, 2 foot, 2 feet, and 1 3/5. Basically 5 pipes sounding together simultaneously. They comprise the cornet. If there is no cornet on your organ, you can draw these stops manually by combining them. And just listen how it sounds. If it sounds nice, you can use this cornet stop in your organ. The left hand part, of course, is an accompaniment and sounds really nice on 8 foot stop, 8 foot flute, for example. In pedal, I recommend having soft 16 and 8 foot stops. Okay, sometimes you need a pedal coupler for a balance with the manual, with the left hand. So sometimes you can just double check how the organ sounds in the room, out in the church or hall. Okay, and so this is cornet registration. But there are many other ways. For example, you can use a soft reed, for example, like oboe. Oboe sounds really nice, sometimes with tremulant, soft tremulant, sometimes without. But instead of cornet, you can use a soft reed. By the way, instead of cornet, you can even use a principal, gentle vocal sounding 8 foot principal would sound really well. Sometimes in modern organs, principals are not really nice. What you can do, and usually there are different principals which sound better than 8 foot. For example, 4 foot principal. If you have an organ with a nice 4 foot principal, maybe it's called an octave. Okay, so what you could do, you could play the right hand part 1 octave lower. Okay, on this organ. We're just using this 4 foot principal, and in reality it will sound like an 8 foot stop. Just listen and check and think if it satisfies your taste. Okay, and so we discussed cornet, we discussed oboe, we discussed principal registration. It could be even flutes, like flutes 8 and 4. If it's a simple organ, like a house organ, you can have 8 and 4, or even 8, 4 and a fifth of like 2 and 2/3, or 8, 4 and 1 and 3/5, or 8, 4 and 1 and 1/3. All kinds of mutation combinations work really well with and or without the tremolo for the right hand part. Okay, so these are the ways to register this piece, and I hope you do every step correctly, every step precisely, and just in a week or a little more, maybe in 10 days, maybe in 14 days at the most, you can be ready to play this piece in public if you do these steps precisely and you memorize. I recommend memorization really, it's really powerful technique, but you don't need to play from memory in public. A lot of people feel this performance anxiety, and that's okay. You can play from music, but for your practice, I recommend memorizing this piece, okay? And you will be much stronger in your piece if you know this piece by heart. That's why they call it by playing by heart and not from the notes, because you will be the master. The piece will become yours, and you will be able to enjoy it for a long time to come, because you can memorize this piece. You can repeat every now and then. For example, like every month you play this piece like a few times, okay, for yourself, and in 1 year you will be able to remember this piece and keep it in your long-term memory without any effort. Okay, just keep this on the back burner, okay, if you want, of your memory back burner, just as on the short and soft practice every every few weeks, a few times. It really requires just 15 perhaps minutes, that's all. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed this home study course, and now go take each step seriously and practice. Do this combination, rewind these recordings and listen to each of them separately, and always follow the score, always follow the direction, play with correct fingering and pedaling, and with correct articulation, and with correct ornaments, hand position. Remember all these things, and you will be ready to play this piece in public.